Well, it's a hot summer's day, and welcome to all of you here on this warm summer's day. Some of you feel sorry for us here in these gowns, but actually they're not quite as hot as they look, so we don't need all of the sympathy you have for us. First of all, I want to thank the people who were responsible for the delicious strawberry shortcake after the service last Sunday morning. For those of you who don't know, when I first came here a couple of weeks ago, I said that one of the things I was missing in Nova Scotia in the Annapolis Valley were the wonderful church strawberry suppers that go on while I'm in the first part of July. So lo and behold, some people here made strawberry shortcake just like they make it in the Annapolis Valley. And it was a wonderful time together. It was such a great hit. They had almost twice as many people as they expected. So that's just how wonderful Annapolis Valley strawberry shortcake is. I've only won two things in my life. When I was in high school, we had a magazine drive and sold magazine subscriptions. For each subscription we sold, our name went into a draw. And at the end of the magazine drive, they drew out a winner. And lo and behold, one year I was the winner. And I won a television set. Can you believe it? It was such a long time ago that many of you will not remember such ancient history, but our family didn't even have a television, and so we were doubly excited by having that I won a television set. About 12 years ago, the service station in Sherwood Park where I bought my gas was having a promotion just before Christmas where each week they drew a name out of the drum, and one week my name was drawn out, and I won a turkey. Wow. I think we gave it to the mustard seed for their Christmas dinner. It's a wonderful feeling to feel that you, when you win something, you feel elated, you feel special, you feel that something wonderful has happened to you. That is something of the feeling that I think you might have when you hear these words of Paul in our scripture this morning. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Wow, you have been given something special that should make you feel elated, privileged, enriched, not by chance, but on purpose. Certainly, Paul wants you to feel, when you hear these words, he wants you to feel elated, he wants you to feel special, he wants you to feel privileged. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Wow. So let's look at this verse bit by bit. To each. Paul is concerned that the Corinthian church is, he says, uninformed about spiritual gifts. Few preachers dare to stand up and say, I want to tell you you're uninformed and I want to set you straight. But Paul can do that. There is, Paul points out, an overemphasis on just one spiritual ability in the Corinthian church. The people in that church had exaggerated its worth and exaggerated the worth of those who possessed it. Speaking in tongues was deemed the most worthy of spiritual activities performed when the congregation met. And because this was deemed the most spiritual of those activities, it had become a cause of division and conflict. So Paul wants to help the congregation discover the true definition and understanding of spiritual gifts. And he does this by assuring them that if they believe in Jesus Christ and they call him Lord, the Holy Spirit will give them spiritual gifts that come from God. You can count on it, he says. Why? Well, they need to know that the Spirit lives within them because it is only by the activity of the Holy Spirit that anyone can believe in Jesus. No one, he says, can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So each and every one of you who calls Jesus Lord does so because the Holy Spirit is present and at work within you. That's better than winning a lottery. The Holy Spirit, all the presence of the eternal God is at work in you. Wow. To each, is given. The presence and the work of the Holy Spirit in you is a gift of God. You don't have to earn it, deserve it, yearn for it. It is a gift to you. It's rather interesting to note what the Greek word for gifts is. It is charismata, from which we get the word charismatic. Now, this word charismata is made up of two Greek words. The first word is charis, which is grace, and mata, which is little. So the gifts of the Spirit are little graces in your life and in my life. What it means is God graces the life of each and every one of you who calls Jesus Lord with the presence and work of the Spirit. He gives to each and every one of us these little graces. It graces our lives. Paul makes it clear that while there are a variety of ways in which the Spirit graces your lives, it is all the work of the God we know as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And in verses 4 to 6, he has this neat little Trinitarian formulation. There are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord or Son. There are varieties of activities, but it is the same God, Father, who activates all of them in everyone. The God of the universe, whom we know as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, graces the lives of each and every one of you who calls Jesus Lord. I don't know about you, but that's more exciting than winning a TV or a turkey. Don't you think so? To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit. Paul wants to assure the Corinthians that things are working exactly as they should when different people in the church have different gifts. It is possible, he points out in the letter to the Galatians, to have all of the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Wouldn't it be nice to have all of those fruits of the Spirit, or even to have a few of them, or a majority of them, all of the time? But he holds out that possibility. We can know all of the fruits of the Spirit. But not so, he says in Corinthians, with the gifts of the Spirit. There's a multiplicity of gifts. No individual has the capacity, the spiritual maturity, or the need to have all of the gifts. So what are these gifts that grace, these little graces that grace the lives of those who call Jesus Lord? Well, there are four lists of these little graces or gifts in the New Testament. In the 12th chapter of Romans, in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 to 11, which was our scripture this morning, and again in verse 28 in the same chapter, and then in Ephesians chapter 4. In these four lists, there are 20 gifts that are listed all together. But they're not limited to 20, they're just kind of examples. There's a wide variety of these gifts. And in these four lists, they range from wisdom, knowledge, faith, to giving, leadership, compassion. They're the means whereby some are evangelists, pastors, and teachers, to healing, tongues, interpretation. The lists could go on and on. Every study of churches that attempt to identify the factors that make for lively, effective congregations have found that motivated and mobilized laity is the mark of a successful church. And churches that are lively and effective are ones in which each member feels affirmed, utilized, and energized in using the gift or the gifts by which God has graced his or her life through the Holy Spirit. Bill Eason is a man who has written a lot on church renewal and church life these days. One of his early books had an interesting title. It was called Sacred Cows Make Gourmet Burgers. In churches, there's lots of sacred cows, and they'd be more effectively used if we turned them into gourmet burgers. One of the sacred cows, he said, in church's life is the way in which we try to kind of control everybody. We make sure everybody kind of adheres to the program. He said, we need to get over this idea of seeing the church, and particularly church leadership, or even generally the church body as a whole, as being control agents. Rather, he says, we need to make a gourmet burger out of that. What we need to be seen as not control-oriented congregations, but permission-giving congregations. We need to be congregations in which every member is discovering and using his or her gifts. And we should be empowering people and be permission-giving people to exercise and use the ways in which their lives have been graced in the life of the church. Music, social ministries, maintenance, teaching, compassion, faith, all of these are ways, and countless others, and ways in which the lives of members of churches have been graced by the Spirit, been gifted by the Spirit. The emphasis of our church life, says Easton, should be on permission-giving, empowering, enabled people to use these gifts in the ways in which God leads them. They need to adhere, of course, to a certain kinds of core values of the church and some lines of accountability. But the emphasis is not on control, it's on permission-giving. Enabling, empowering. So, what is your gift? In what way has God graced your life with those little graces? Ideally, every one of you should know what part of your life God has graced by God's Spirit. So what about mine? Well, I believe I have a gift of administration. I love organizing things and putting things together and making them work. I think I would have made a good accountant. I love tinkering with figures and plans. In fact, at one point in my life, I even thought I might pursue that in a post-retirement career, but I gave up on that idea. But anyway, I think I have a gift in that area, and I think God has used that in the life of the church. I think I have a gift of encouragement. People have told me that. I'm good at encouraging other people, empowering other people. I sometimes think maybe as they just feel sorry for me and think they have to help me out. But whatever it is, I'm told, and I think I have that gift of encouragement. And I think God has used that in the life of his church. I think I have a gift of perseverance. I like to see things work through to a conclusion. I don't easily give up on things until they're kind of resolved in some way. And I think God has used that gift in the life of the church. Naming and using the gifts that grace our lives by the Spirit of God is something special. And in some way, God has graced every one of your lives who call him Lord with some little grace that God can use in the life of his church. I read a recent article by Rowan Williams, the current Archbishop of Canterbury, and he said this: the New Testament sees the church as a community in which each person has a gift that only he or she can give into the common life. We forget just how radical and comprehensive is the vision of a community of universal giftedness. I like that. The church as a community of universal giftedness. God graces our lives with his little graces that make us a community of universal giftedness. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Paul points out that the gifts of the Spirit are for the common good, not for individual purposes. The church is not a place where everyone is crying out, "Get out of my way so that I can exercise my gift." Well, it's not unheard of to hear that in the church, but that's really not the kind of community we are. The gift of each is inseparable from the need of each and from the need of our common life. The Spirit gives to individual believers gifts to be given into the life of the church for the common good. The Spirit gives these gifts to enable each person to grow in his or her relationship to Christ, to grow in fellowship with one another, and to reach out into the world. So here is the good news. And if you don't take anything else away from this message, and you may not, remember this. As one who knows Jesus Christ as Lord, God graces some part of your life with the Holy Spirit that you then use to serve Christ, and through which God works to build his church and to permeate the world with the gospel. Remember that. As one who knows Jesus Christ as Lord, God graces some part of your life with the Holy Spirit that you then use to serve Christ, and through which God works to build his church and to permeate the world with the gospel. If you don't remember anything else, remember that. Every church is a gifted church. Your church is a gifted church. God in Christ through the Holy Spirit has graced you, like every other church, with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I see evidence of that already among you, in those who give leadership in this congregation, those who give of their gifts in worship and music, those who were called to be part of the STEP ministry with its mission outreach to Bolivia, those who are involved in children and youth ministries, the people involved in maintenance, and those in with gifts of hospitality who make wonderful strawberry shortcake. God gives evidence among you in many ways of the giftedness of God's little graces in your lives. The gifts of the Spirit, the giftedness of the Spirit is not just for some. It's for each and every one of you who knows Jesus Christ as Lord. So acknowledge your giftedness. Cultivate your giftedness. Celebrate your giftedness. And as you do, you will become more and more empowered and effective as the body of Christ. And church life will be a whole lot more fun than winning TVs or turkeys. You are a gifted church. That is a prize. Believe it, be glad of it, and be it. Let's bow together in prayer. Our loving God, your Spirit is present with us now as we worship. Speak to us through these words that we may be empowered in the giftedness with which you have graced each of our lives. We pray this in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.